All right, so last week we started a new series called My Impact. And what our hope is for 2020 is that this is the most impactful year of your life. And what we said was it's not basically about how you'll be impacted this year. And, oh gosh, can this be the year where I am so impacted financially, or I'm so impacted socially, or my career is just so impacted? No, we are desirous that this year be the greatest impact for the kingdom of God that you've ever had in your life. And we talked about this spiritual urgency, this holy desperation, this time of movement in the life of our church, that God is calling us to move, to have a holy shift. No more, I'm only a volunteer. I'm only a person that kind of comes and does this little thing. That God is calling us to fulfill that which we are designed for. That there's no plan B. That God has given us no plan B except his people advance his kingdom. And so we desire to have that appropriate impact this year. And so last week we began with investments, that we were going to desire this year to give little pieces of ourselves away for future benefits. That we have developed a relationship with God, that we wanted to demonstrate that relationship with others. And that just like Jesus, we can have this role of prophecy, that we can be sharing and teaching, that we can have this role of kingship, that we can be leading, we can have this role of the priesthood, and we can be caring. And it's not so much this idea that we have to do it better, that like last year in 2019, you guys were really bad Christians, and I'm just hoping as your pastor that you'll be a better Christian this year. That's really not what we're looking for. It's not a do better. It's really something that's already been done, but we wanted to develop it. And you'll remember very well my terrible analogy that got all screwed up last week with Josh and trying to explain how different he was than me. And does anyone remember that? Yeah, sorry about that. I've been apologizing daily to Josh for that. So it's not a do thing. It's something that's been done, but that God maybe desires that we would develop our investment, that we would develop this idea that we can begin to give small pieces of ourselves away in order for a future benefit. And so in your bulletin this week, there is what I mentioned to you last week, that there's this first serve list, that there are opportunities within Northway Community Church where you can immediately start serving. You can immediately start having an impact, immediately begin to make investments in other people's lives. And so if you want to fill that out and drop it off to me or to leave it on your seat or whatever, it would be a way that we can get you involved right away. Also, I wanted to share just as a practical note that in October of 2020, missions and global outreach is your thing. And we're going to be taking a team. This is the first time you're hearing this. We're going to be taking a team to Costa Rica to see the Leons. They were with us a couple of months ago. And so we'll be taking a team over there. And so maybe that's something you want to begin to think about, being a part of the Northway Community Church missions team in October 12th through the 20th. We'll give you a lot more information about this, but we'll be taking a team to Costa Rica. So maybe that's where you want to make an impact. And maybe that's where you want to begin to invest and give small pieces of yourself away and sacrifice in order to be a part of this team. And so last week we talked about our impact starts with investment. This week we begin talking about this idea of mission. Last week, our passage was found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light." So we made this point that that's who we are. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But if we continue to read, we find out more about who we are. So not only are we a holy nation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but look with me at verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you, comma, as aliens and strangers in the world, comma, So now Peter's telling us something new about us. Not only are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but we're also foreigners and exiles. We are refugees, pilgrims, strangers in a foreign land. Did you know that about yourself? That what we're realizing is that we're not from here. That if we are followers of Jesus, if we are God's children, we are not from here. We are foreigners. We are exiles. We are dwelling among natives, but we're not from here. This is not our permanent home. We're simply passing through in order to enter our final destination. That's kind of part of the story, right? If you are a follower of Jesus, this is not our home. We are heading onward to heaven. So how would you characterize your life at this moment? Are you a pilgrim? Are you one that holds loose and light to this world? Or are you and I earth dwellers? We're tethered to so much that's here. Are we just passing through on our way to the eternal inheritance in heaven? Or are we living right here and right now and getting every drop while we can? Are we pursuing there? Are we pursuing here? One of these is everlasting and eternal. The other is fading and temporary. And so the question is, how do you view eternity? Because the way we view heaven, the way we view our eternal home, will have a lot to say and a lot of impact on what we do with our time and possessions here. And if you want to know how you view eternity, look at how you use your time and possessions here. Oh, by the way, I should have said this at the beginning. This message comes with a disclaimer. If you will, you definitely, if you are prone to be offended, you definitely will be offended at this sermon. I guarantee it. But this is the truth. Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." There was a Christian, a bunch of Christians traveling in the Middle East, and they met this old, wise, devout believer living in a simple hut. He had a cot, a chair, a table, and a battered stove for heating and cooking. And the visitors that were greeting this man said to him, "Wow, we're so surprised by how few possessions you have. Where is all your furniture?" And the aged saint gently responded, "Well, where's yours?" And the visitors said slightly awkwardly, "Well, why, my furniture's at home, of course. I don't carry it with me. I'm traveling." And the wise, devout Christian man said, "So am I. So am I." So church, when we talk about my impact, we certainly are talking about the investments, giving small pieces of ourselves away. But we also need to talk about mission. Is what we do and what we're called to do for God's kingdom, for eternity, or is it for my kingdom and our kingdom? I mean, that scripture, right? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, in the famous, most famous prayer, when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven." Do we believe that we can say that? Do we believe that what we're here for and what our mission is for his kingdom and his will to be done? Not our kingdom and our will to be done. Do we truly have a kingdom focus? Where is our allegiance? Is it for our home and our king? Or is it for our home and our king? How we doing? We all right? Nobody leaving yet? Except him. You can't make this stuff up. That is unbelievable. Poor kid. So can I ask you an uncomfortable question?
Are you a Christ follower before you're an American? The American flag. I'm a patriot. A person who vigorously supports their country and is prepared to defend it against enemies and detractors. We would all say that we're patriots. We love our country. We love our people. We're grateful to the men and women that defend us. And then we have the Christian flag. I'm a Christian. I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith and a disciple who desires to lead other people to become followers of Jesus. So here's the issue. There's flag etiquette. Don't you know that? Right? So wherever the American flag is, it has to be in the place of prominence. It has to be higher than every other flag. If there's equal heights, it has to be on the right-hand side. We know that there's flag etiquette, but why is there flag etiquette? Why? Because the American flag has to have prominence. It has to have prestige. It has to be the sign of greater allegiance than every other flag around it. But the question is, what happens when one allegiance conflicts with another allegiance? Our politics. What if our allegiance to this flag conflicts with our allegiance to this flag? What about if our politics and our beliefs about this flag conflict with our allegiance and politics and beliefs of that flag? What if the policies and the truths and the beliefs of that flag conflict with the beliefs and policies of that flag? Church, we are not to be discipled by our cable news preference. I'm not telling you what news channel to watch. I'm telling you, you cannot get your discipleship from your television. You cannot be spiritually formed by your social media feed. You will never become a better follower of Jesus by scrolling. I'm not saying stop scrolling. I'm just saying know what you're doing. This is for a particular reason, and this is for a particular reason. And so we cannot get our discipleship from our news channel, and we cannot get our spiritual formation from our social media feed. We are not the American church. We are the church in America. Does that make sense? That this is not somehow the Americans have got the corner on Christianity. We are simply the church in America. We are not the American church. There's no way to make these flags become one. There will always be a separation. There has to be. That does not represent that, and that does not represent that, even though we love both. But what we're saying in this flag etiquette is that we realize that one has to be primary and the other has to be secondary. It's not disavowing either one, but we're saying one is primary. That if we are a Christ follower first, if we are a citizen of heaven first, our political affiliations are secondary. Our foreign policy is secondary. Social justice is not because we're good Americans, because it's what God compels us to do. So it comes down to a question of citizenship. And if we look in Philippians, I have it right here, Philippians chapter 3, I want to read to you, Paul is talking specifically about this issue of who and where are we citizens. It says, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ is just, Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, where? heavenward in Christ Jesus. So all of his activities, all of his passions, all of his allegiances is going a certain direction. All of us then, verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together, verse 17, in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eye on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is no way to twist that, to make that, contort that, to say something other than it says. Paul is clearly saying that there are two options. And so here's the thing. I want to move the Christian flag over there just so you don't think that every time I draw a contrast, I'm somehow pointing it towards America, because it's not. So these are together now. So every time I make a contrast, it's not saying this or that. So they're together. Because America's not the enemy here. The point is, where is our home? Where are we citizens? Are we the enemies of the cross, or are we citizens of heaven? Paul explains it. He says the enemies of the cross, their destiny is destruction. Their goal is their stomach. Hello, right? Help me, Jesus. Glory in their shame, mindset on earthly things. See, because here's the thing, church. The earth, can only give you more earth. Not the things of heaven. Or are we citizens of heaven who we eagerly await? What are we eagerly awaiting? If we're citizens of heaven, what are we eagerly awaiting? Are we eagerly awaiting promotion, success, achievement, and advancement? No. We're eagerly awaiting the Savior, who with power will bring everything under his control and will transform our lowly bodies. What I think Paul is saying, if I could just change the word for a second, he's talking about appetites. What appetites will be satisfied? The appetites that are generated here and now, or appetites that are generated there and then? What God wants, what's important to God, what brings people closer to God, is that our mission? Or is our mission and our appetite what I want, what I think is important, and then we ask God to bless that? What brings people to a higher opinion of me? John 18:36 says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Church, we say we're Christians. We say we're little Christs. We've got to deal with what our leader just said. Our leader says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. If we are followers of Jesus, we've got to reckon that. Are we citizens of heaven? Because if we're citizens of heaven, if we're true followers of Jesus, our standards and our conduct should be similar to the standard and conduct of the kingdom and of the king. And we realize that it's not always been this way, that we weren't just born followers of Jesus. We were born, it says that we were born into darkness and sin, but that we were born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we're called born again. We always think that that's a derogatory term, but we believe that we were born first and we have the sinful nature. That's just who we are. We all are like that. We're all in the same category. We are all born with imperfections. And that when we come to Christ Jesus, we are made righteous. We are made right. We are born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we become citizens of heaven. And so by becoming citizens of heaven, we then become ambassadors. I feel like we need to take like a stand-up break, but because I think this is heavy, but I think it's important. So are you with me? So the first in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it called us aliens and strangers. And then we went to Philippians chapter 3, and it tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And now we transition to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, and we find out not only are we aliens and strangers here, and not only are we citizens in heaven, but we also now have a new job. And not only are we aliens and strangers here, and we have become citizens of heaven, we've received a new job, and it's called ambassadors for Christ while we're here. And so let me read for you quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21 says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So when our minds are changed, when our hearts are changed, we view the world differently. We have a different perspective. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." So not only do we have new eyes and new perspective, we have a new life. Things have changed for us. Verse 18, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." So what I want you to know here is that we're aliens and strangers here. We're called citizens in heaven, and in the time we have remaining, we're called ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? A messenger, a representative, one who's commissioned for a special assignment, one who exercises authority. Church, those are all things that represent you and I. We are messengers for God. We represent Jesus Christ. We are commissioned to help other people enter heaven and exercise the authority of heaven. So I had this illustration as I try to bring this in for a landing of this great commission that we are called in Matthew 28 to go forth and make disciples. And I have this view that we're to go out and we're go to the highways and the byways and all over this place. And so in my mind just goes crazy. And we're going to go here and you're going to go there and we're going to go here and boom, boom, boom. And we're all over the place. And then immediately I thought of, but more than anything, we oftentimes don't live on the Great Commission highway. We live on our own personal cul-de-sacs. Cul-de-sac means the bottom. It's a French word. It means bottom of the bag, bottom of the sack. It means there's only one opening. And then I did a little research this week about that there was back in the 50s and 60s, there was this great movement out of the urban centers into the suburbs. Everybody felt like the urban areas were becoming too dense and too dangerous, and everybody wanted to move out. And so they started building cities after the war. They started building neighborhoods that were about isolation and privacy and aloneness. And in the city, there were all these houses with front porches. And in the suburbs, there were all these garages with remote controls so that I could come into my house and I never needed to talk to you. But in the city, there's these huge front porches with these wonderful sidewalks and everybody knew each other. And church, I feel like there's some spiritual analogy here that we're called to live on the Great Commission Highway and we live on personal cul-de-sacs. All I want is my privacy. All I want to be is left alone. All I want is to be by myself. Which one is our mission? Which one is Jesus' mission? Church, as far as I can tell, reading this book, it's not about free time. It's not about me time. It's not even about overtime. It's about His time. The time has come, the time that is coming, and the time that is left. Church, we are called to be aliens and strangers, citizens of heaven, and ambassadors. We're called to have an impact, to be identified and on mission with Jesus. And so what is that mission? That mission is to see and help other people grow closer to Jesus. We are not the end. We are not the mission. It's not about our place and our space. I know sometimes we would rather not go anywhere and we'd rather be private and alone. But if we are aliens and strangers here, if we are citizens of heaven, and if we are ambassadors of Christ, we are called to be on the Great Commission Highway and not in the personal cul-de-sacs. That hurts me as much as it hurts you. We're called to be on mission for Christ, but I think sometimes we're on mission for ourselves. I close with this. The way that you'll know, a quick way, a way we can determine today whether or not you and I are on mission for Christ, if we're on mission for ourselves. If you're sleeping, you want to wake up. The question is, what if? What if your personal mission doesn't go well? What if your kingdom doesn't grow? What if your kingdom isn't successful? Can you still build God's kingdom? What if things don't get better? Would you continue? Can God still? Let me tell you, in the darkest moment of my life, clearly by far, the darkest moment in my life, the darkest moment in my marriage, I sat in a counselor's office and he looked at me and he said, Bryce, it may not get better. It may not get better. And if it doesn't get better, can you still trust that God is good and He has a wonderful plan for your life? The answer to that question is whether or not you are on mission with God or if you're on mission for yourself. Because if you're on mission for yourself, if things don't go better for me, I quit. I don't trust God. I don't care about God's mission. I need me to go better. If we're on mission for God, even if my personal mission isn't going well, even if I'm not advancing, even if I do lose my job, even if my marriage is rocky, I still trust that God's mission will continue. And God still has a plan. And God is still good. That's a tough one. That's tough. So church, we want to make an impact this year. We started with investment. We have this tough conversation about mission. Is it my mission or is it God's mission? And then next week, we're going to talk about the people that we're going to impact. Worship team, come back. So friends, as we close the service, we're going to sing a song of response. And there's two things I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take a moment and fill out that My Impact slip. And take a moment. There's a pen in the back of the seat in front of you. And you can go ahead and say, listen, God, I'm committing to you that this is where, in my local church, where I want to make an investment. This is kind of a response and reaction from last week's sermon. I want to volunteer here. I want to volunteer here. I'm interested in this. I'm interested in that. And I'd love for you, as a way of responding, to come forward and lay those My Impact slips here on, we're going to call this the altar. Let's just pretend. We don't have an altar here. So we're going to bring it to the platform. And the second thing is, I'm going to ask our pastors to come up, and they're going to be up here for prayer. And I wonder this morning if we could pray with you about dedicating ourselves to God's mission. That being aware of and being sensitive to the areas in our life where we make it all too much about us. And saying, God, I want to be a follower of you, and I want to be on mission for you. And so we'd love to pray for you and confirm that in you. Pastor, you can come over here. No, you can stay here. You can come to your spot. I was just telling Pastor Hart. We've got traffic. It's a good thing when you have traffic at church. Amen. Traffic at church is good. That's right. Thank you, Tripp. Traffic at church is good. That's going to be a little quote. I'm going to tweet that. Traffic at church is good. So come forward, bring your slip. These guys won't grab you if you're just trying to put your slip up. But if you want to pray and ask God to be present with you as you pursue his mission, we'd love to pray for you. So let's stand with us. Let's sit.